Can Google tell if you're using AI content, or are your writers lying to you about whether or not they're using AI content like ChatGPT? Well, in this episode, we talked to John Gillum, founder of Originality.ai, and we have a fun conversation about this exact subject. After we get a little bit of his background, we talk about how and why Originality.ai is the best AI detector on the internet right now, and how to use his tool properly as niche site owners. We talk about a new plugin that Originality has that allows you to use Google Docs to tell whether or not content is human written or not. And then we dive into a case study that they conducted, which gives us a specific number that we need to shoot for when using Originality.ai so that we can make absolutely positively sure that we are thumbs up in the eyes of Google and can move on with the content publishing on our sites. We have a lot of fun in this interview, and I can't wait for you to listen. Enjoy. And if you want help to build your side hustle to over $100,000 in revenue, be sure to go check out oneblogaway.co. That's oneblogaway.co. There I have a free course that you can check out and have the opportunity to work with me one-on-one. Now let's get into the video. All right. So first of all, I just want to thank you, John, for being on. Thanks so much for coming on. We had a little bit of a scheduling conflict, but I think we're going to finally get this in the can.
Yeah, no, glad to be here. I was happy to talk and geek out on this stuff. So yeah, good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and that's one thing I do like to do is geek out. You know, there's not a very few places you can geek out about this kind of stuff, and being able to do it online is pretty awesome. It's actually a very selfish reason for me to start the podcast, also. But if you don't mind, John, give everyone a quick background on how you got into this whole, you know, niche websites and how Originality.ai got started and you know, things like that.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, so my background, sort of formal background, was as a mechanical engineer, worked at a refinery, but always wanted to get back home to my hometown to raise my kids and mountain bike a ton and ski a ton. And sort of back in kind of the 2010 timeline, started sort of dabbling online and playing with kind of building websites that can make money. And so that's been sort of the core of what I've been doing is, you know, building typically through content marketing and SEO, building up websites, niche websites, and authority sites to make money, and then building some services off the sort of extra capacity that I had by doing that. So we had a content marketing business, a link building business sort of way back. That's kind of dead. But I had a content marketing business, a website brokerage where we buy and sell websites at Motion Invest. And then, lately was the sort of most recent project has been Originality.ai, which started out as a plagiarism checker because everyone hates Copyscape but uses it. It's a pretty outdated, pretty not user friendly, especially not user friendly for large content production houses. And then we built in some AI detection that predated ChatGPT, and then ChatGPT came out and sort of blew up the world. So it's been a bit of a wild ride in last sort of 4 or 5 months. But that's sort of my background, and then what was the original genesis, and for Originality.ai, and kind of where it's gone to since.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. That's actually a very similar, origin story, I guess you could say, that I have, and a lot of people have had when they get into this space. They got kids, they're wanting to spend more time with them, spend more time with the family, and then they start looking for things other than the traditional 9-to-5. But you went a step further and started jumping on, you know, other types of trends, creating products and creating services. How has that been in terms of versus, I should say, the content stuff? Do you still do content sites, or has it kind of just become more SaaS stuff?
Yeah, no, still do the content sites. I think that's kind of key for me to sort of be able to fully understand and appreciate sort of the problem set that the services are solving. But I think I'm super risk averse. And so I really didn't want to really leave the day job, so to speak, when I had sort of a single income stream. And even if I had multiple sites, they're still sort of exposed to the same, you know, back in like Penguin and Panda days, sort of still the same risk profile on multiple sites. And so I was always really cautious about not wanting to leave the day job until I had sort of multiple business streams that I felt were somewhat diversified in terms of different risk profiles on them. So still have the portfolio, have a manager that runs the portfolio, working on growing it, great sort of testing bed for 100% AI content sites, 0% AI content sites, and just sort of, continue to play in the space and look for opportunities.
You know, with you being in the space and as close as you are to it, I find it pretty interesting that when you started with originality, it was just supposed to be a plagiarism checker, because you're right, I hate Copyscape. So, you know, you just kind of depend on it, and then it says that it's fine, and you're like, okay, and then you roll with it. But I've built, you know, plenty of sites where, you know, copy or checking against Copyscape has been fine. But in your instance, you took it a step further, especially when this whole GPT, you know, stuff just started kind of taking over the world a few months ago. Describe the decision that you had to make when you realized that, okay, we have another opportunity here, and you just kind of, I don't want to say abandon the plagiarism side of things, but then really jumped on the AI detection stuff with originality.ai.
Yeah, so it still has, in our world of Jasper was everywhere in the world of niche sites, right? Like AI, GPT-3 powered AI writing tools were prolific in our little world of sort of niche sites. And so we had been planning to build the AI detection. And so I think plagiarism and original content in 2023 now is different than it was in, when Copyscape got built in 2002. That it's not just was this copied, but was this human created? We have a paraphrase detection module coming out. And so is it, it's sort of this need to understand what is truly original and thought. There's a question, does that matter in Google? And that's an interesting question that no one knows for sure, but it's an interesting one. And so my thought process was this was a Copyscape sort of competitor with the added benefit of AI detection. ChatGPT came out, blew up the world, and it became pretty clear that the majority of users, I mean, we're still getting thousands of scans a day right now on the plagiarism side, but we're getting a lot more on the AI detection, and that's the thing that is the sort of a burning problem that everyone's needed to try and figure out. So it was we got we knew we were always going to build for both, but then the market just massively pulled us to focus on the AI detection.
No, that was a smart thing to do. You know, you saw where the industry was heading, and especially when it comes to us niche site guys and investors who are paying other people usually to build up certain sections of our site just to get it back and know that they just, you know, the writer might have just pressed three buttons and here's your article. I find it interesting too. You said that you're looking for like a paraphrase checker. Could you dive deeper into how that's going to work?
Yeah, so same way. So the AI detector has been trained. So we've built our own AI that is trained on a ton of this data set of human created blog content that's been made available by both Google and OpenAI, and there's some others that have these sort of human text data sets. And then we've extracted our own data set out of the tool of GPT-3, 3.5, ChatGPT, and GPT-4 now. And then we train our AI to be able to detect the difference between the two. And so then what we've also done, the most, and talking specifically about the paraphrasing, the most common sort of workaround for AI detection is get AI to create a copy piece of content and then paraphrase that content with Quillbot. And that typically fools most AI detectors because it's now a different profile. And so we've sort of done that same process at massive scale and trained our AI on what paraphrased content looks like, and then it can predict if that content had been paraphrased.
Yeah, and see, that's what a lot of people would tell me, and I'll say, you know, it's a lot of these tools are picking up, including originality.ai. It's picking up on the AI content, but then someone would run it through a Quillbot or something, and then it would just change a word here, change a word there, and now you fooled originality. But that doesn't mean that you necessarily fooled anybody else, right? So, with this whole paraphrase thing, because I find that quite interesting, because you know, essentially, you know, these AI tools, regardless of who it is, you know, if it could be Jasper, it could be ChatGPT, it could be anybody, you know, whatever their core is. If you ask it the same question, it probably will essentially give you about the same answer. So if 10,000 people did it, around 10,000 people are probably going to give you about the exact same answer or similar to it, just written in a very unique way so that it passes plagiarism. Wouldn't it still be, I don't want to say plagiarism, but not really helpful content at all?
So I think so, right? Like if, I mean, it's a tricky question right now.
Yeah.
But certainly, would you want to read that article? Like if it was like ask Mike for your podcast setup. And if it's AI generated, if you know it's been, if you got two articles, one written by someone that's an expert that's been a tech podcaster for years and has used all the equipment, and another that was AI generated and run through a paraphraser, which of those two articles do you want to read? And so I think the sort of the simple test says that, yeah, it doesn't add as much value as a human created piece of content. Now, human, you know, the argument can go slide down that scale of like, well, a writer that doesn't know anything about podcasting just did a little bit of research and created an article compared to the AI article, which ones adds more value? I don't know. That one starts to get questionable.
You think AI content will ever be as good as a human writer?
I think it's already better in some respects. It writes better than I do. Hopefully my unique thoughts are better, but like I'll run a lot of my content, especially like email content, through ChatGPT, and like I now I'll just like dump my thoughts quickly, and like words don't come as easy to me as numbers do, and so I'll just dump my thoughts on in an email and then say, hey ChatGPT, make this better, and like maybe like make this like, you know, especially like if I'm like sending a nasty note, like I need to soften my nasty note, I'm like
make it nicer,
make it sound a little nicer. Yeah,
that's awesome. Yeah, usually when I use AI, it's not necessarily for blog content, maybe an intro and an outro. But, you know, usually if I'm writing, you know, social media posts, if I'm writing an email, I'm using AI like all day long. But I find it interesting, too. You mentioned earlier, if I was given the choice of reading something that I know a human wrote versus another article that I know that a machine wrote, you know, would it really make a big difference to me if the content was still good? I remember a few years ago, Google had this thing come out. I forgot what they called it, but it was an AI that actually spoke pretty naturally. And they use it as an example of actually like calling a salon and booking an appointment. And the person on the other side had no idea that they were talking to a computer. So like there's kind of an ethics thing going on there, right? Do people deserve to know if what they're interacting with was not created by a human?
Oh, I don't know. Good question. I think I would like to. I would like to understand. Deserve? I don't know. Good question. I think on the deserve question, this is why, you know, I'm not pro or anti, actually, no, I'd say I am more pro AI content, but I'm very undeserved on the question of deserve to know. I think certainly publishers deserve to know if the content they were paying for was AI created or human created. And so I think that one's a clean answer for me, that if I'm reading content, do I deserve to know? I don't know. I'm not sure if I'd like to know.
Yeah. You know, there's some websites came out, I forget, some big websites came out saying, hey, yeah, this article was AI generated, and then it started producing some negative results for them, and they ended up having to take it down or something. So they were trying to be upfront about it.
Yeah, it was Red Dot was doing it with some of their, so they have like a big, you know, take like all the niche site publishers and put them on steroids, and this is what like Red Dot does, but with a bunch of big sites, and they had been doing it with some of their sites, and yeah, I think it fits. Like if it does fit for some, like the, like BuzzFeed, I think it fits really well with BuzzFeed. Like when the words are sort of like secondary to the rest of the content on the page, which in BuzzFeed's case, it's like, hey, 50 images of whatever. the words around those images are secondary in terms of the value that you get as a, in, you know, in BuzzFeed's case, in entertainment. And so I think there's a ton of appropriate use cases. And I think transparency on when it's used is good. But I don't know. That's it. I haven't sort of heard that question on the do we deserve to know?
No, I find it interesting because I would think I would want to know, but then again, it's kind of going where Google's kind of going with it. Like, they don't care if it's good. I mean, they don't care who created it as long as it's good. At least that's what they're saying right now, right? So as long as it got the job done, does it really matter what you interacted with? And I mean, there's a weird line there that I don't know if we can draw like at all right now, right? I mean, even though Google has come out and at first they were like, no AI content. Then they kind of about faced with it because of their own thing that they were going to be using. And it's not like they haven't been using AI for years anyway. But regardless, do you think Google will ever change their mind again regarding AI content?
So I'm not sure if they like, I think they clarified the position, right? They said spam is bad generated by any form. If you're just creating content to manipulate the search engines, that's bad, including if that's done with AI content. And they kind of came out and said, like, we didn't really say that AI itself is bad. We said that spam content is bad. That hasn't changed. AI content, we're okay with as long as it's good and adds value. I question. I understand why they probably need to sort of like clarify that position because it's not like pure anti. The first statement was probably too anti-AI than they really are. This, I can't imagine Google is going to lay down and let their search engine results get overrun with hordes of well-written but factually incorrect AI content. Is it going to get in there? Yes. Will Google just accept it? I don't think so. I mean, I think what we're seeing is that they're not. And we ran a study that shows that to some extent that I mean, I think the amount of AI that's in those results isn't enough yet to know that for sure. But I can't imagine Google. So will they change their statement? I don't know. But will Google actively pursue AI generated content and suppress it relative to human content? Yes, but in sort of a, again, not a more new, I think like in everything in SEO, the answer is, well, it's
It
nuanced. Well,
depends.
it depends. Yeah. And I think, you know, AI content, not in your money, your life, where the value on the page that the reader's getting is like videos and some assembly of pictures or table or calculator. Not bad. It around your money, your life topics without much EAT. Like I think EAT will become your EEAT will become more and more important. But so to answer your question, I don't know if they're going to change their statement, but I think they're going to be waging a war on AI content. And I'm happy to use it on some sites, but I would be very scared to use it on my most important sites.
I've heard a ton of rumblings where people are saying like if you are going to use AI content to try to scale a site, like right now would probably be the best time to do it because Google right now is probably its furthest away at how it's trying to detect it. And I'm pretty sure like Google just doesn't probably, at least at this point, don't have the resources to really figure this thing out, at least right now. Maybe in 3 to 5 years, maybe it's a little longer than that, maybe it's a little shorter than that. I don't know. How much of this is like a money thing for Google, do you think?
So compute, like we're currently the most accurate AI detection tool on the market. A lot of that is due to the fact that, you know, OpenAI came out with their own and it sucked. So it's and not because the AI team that we have, you know, smart people, but you know, they probably don't have bigger brains than the team at OpenAI or Google. But we are just using more compute power. And so if the more times you check it, and sort of using an iterative process of looking at that content. And so it's a very heavy compute power approach. So it's like, you know, we're beating all these competitors in terms of like OpenAI with detection, in part because the team's super smart, but also in part because we just put a much bigger engine in the vehicle and we didn't like, you know, if you're allowed to have twice the size of an engine in your F1 car, you still need some pretty smart people to put it all together, but it might be faster than than the competition that has other restrictions. So, to your question on like, is it a cost thing right now? I think so. I think is Google going to be able to? I think Google will have a better chance actually now. So I kind of disagree with the one comment that like, I think most content that is being created by the same brain, right? Everyone's using GPT 3.5, ChatGPT, GPT-4. When other module, when other AI tools that come out, like the one from Stanford, that you can sort of tune and run on your own machine, it will be hard to train detection tools to be able to identify all of these custom tuned GPT-3 equivalent AI modules or NLPs that are out in the world. So yeah, it's fascinating times. I do think it's a cost thing right now to efficiently identify if content has been AI generated.
Yeah, and I hear what you're saying there, especially with the cost thing. You guys are able to put in a lot of cost with it. Are you able to keep up with the demand and everything with, I'm sure this is getting bigger and bigger since it's kind of peaked out of our little niche website world, right? And everyone else seems to be finding tools, especially originality.ai, and that you mentioned is one of, if not the best one that's out there right now. How are you guys keeping up with the demand for people wanting to know whether or not content that they're paying for or receiving was created by a human or not?
Yeah, so I think so. We're keeping. I mean, it's been a ride. We've had systems break. We've been scaling systems constantly. The team is doing really well. We've scaled rapidly in terms of our team size. Like we went from kind of a 3-person team to a 10-person team pretty quickly. Systems are holding. I think education's been a big challenge, where it's been really frustrating for writers to know that they created their own content, are being told to run a tool through this checker, and it comes back with some percent of AI. So even if like we're at sort of a 4% false positive rate, but it's still upsetting to a writer when they see 60% chance original, 40% chance that it was AI generated. And so we're still correctly predicting that was human generated, but this is our level of certainty, 60% chance. And that's really upsetting to a writer that has just, poured their effort into creating human generated content, and then this machine is telling them that there's a 40% chance that it was AI generated. And so that sort of education process is so I feel for them, and it's why we ended up building an additional sort of tool to help prove out false positives, because I think AI detection alone will not be enough long term. It's certainly not. It's fine in our world of like, hey, hire a writer. They got a bunch of AI scores, so we're gonna move on to a different writer. But the burden of proof and level of sort of consequence is fairly low in the world of hiring and firing writers. Very transient transactional role. It's different in the world of academia, where a lot of people are using our tool as well. And so we built a Google document revision history visualizer. And so what that is it's a Chrome extension that allows you to open a Google document and then visualize the entire creation process of that document, see who contributed to it, see the number of times that they worked on it, see a graph on the number of words that they were typing per minute and the length of the document per minute. And so if it's like one writer, 10 minutes, and they just went like with text, then it's pretty obvious, and it had a high AI score, then it's a pretty easy way to be like, okay, we know with certainty that like the tool said high probability of AI. And when we look at how the document was created, it was created with a control paste and then some formatting edits and then a couple little tweaks. And that was it. It's like pretty good chance. I know some writers will write in different environment than paste into Google documents. But anyways, I think, the gold standard of knowing if content was human created or AI created is to have the writer write in a Google document from the start, get edit access to that, and then use the originality tool to both get the AI detection score, but then also be able to visualize the entire document creation process.
Yeah, that's actually pretty next level there to do that. And you know, just my mind going here, John. So like, I mean, a lot of these chat. I mean, you're now able to use plugins with a lot of the APIs that are available right now. Is there ever, you know, could you just simply tell it to spit out the content at a non-controlled pace or something to beat that?
So I think the answer is like it's always beatable, right? Like any detection is beatable. I think what if we can raise the bar that beating it is
a pain
as a pain, then they're probably going to go somewhere else to, and that isn't using that checker, right? Until that isn't performing like copy and paste and get hired somewhere else versus, oh man, I have to sit here and I have to let the computer run and paste it in here. And then it's going to use this plugin that will type it in, make it look natural. Yeah, I think if someone has to go to that level to beat it, pretty good.
They might as well just do the work.
Might as well just do the work, or yeah, go elsewhere where you don't need to put in all that effort to trick them.
No, that actually makes plenty of sense. I used to work at a bank a long time ago, and at the bank they used to always tell us, look, if someone really wanted to like break into your online banking account and take it, there's not much you can do about it. But as the bank, it's our job to just make it as hard as possible, right? And then it just, people will, you know, naturally go toward the path of least resistance, right? So that's kind of exactly what you just described there, which makes total sense. But I think that that's a really smart idea to have something that you can look at, see how words were added, and just, you know, that way you can kind of put that on top of, you know, whether or not it's AI or whatever versus whether or not it was natural. Even when you check a little box online to prove that you're human, it's seeing if the mouse is moving in a natural way and all of that fun stuff, right? So I can see the genesis of that, which is pretty cool. Let me ask you this. All right, as a blogger, all right, so I'm a blogger. I'm a guy who's creating content online, guy or girl who's creating content online, and I use AI to outsource my content. How could I best use originality.ai?
Yeah, so I think I'm torn. So a lot of people are doing exactly that. So I kind of have a two-part answer to this. Part one is I'm not sure if it makes sense to. Meaning, if you know it's AI and you're comfortable with you publishing AI, then you know we're not Google. Go like make sure it's ethically created AI content that adds value and go publish it straight away. Don't worry about the AI detection score. And so that'd be kind of like, you know, I think I see a lot of people using originality when they know it's AI content, they know it's their site, they're not trying to trick sort of anyone other than Google. And I'm not sure if that makes sense or not. So that's kind of like part one to the answer. Part two to the answer is we're trying to answer that question ourselves on like, you know, what is, does Google care about if content is generated by AI or not? You know, that's a question that is hotly debated right now, because their statements are not super clear on that. And so what we ran a big correlation study to say, is there any correlation between our AI detection score and the article's position in Google? And so what we found is that there is correlation. The higher the human, the higher the original score, the better the ranking. For every, like, it was like 10 points, and we got an article coming out on it. But what we found is that after a human score of 75%, there was no correlation after that. And so based on everything that we've done, it's like if you can achieve a score of 75%, there is no longer any benefit to in the eyes of Google. That's kind of the number that we saw that the data sort of showed, was that strong correlation, the strength of correlation is sort of in that like top 10 ranking factor range, you know, not as important as like, you know, number of backlinks, et cetera, but it's in that sort of like a top 10 ranking factor range was the originality score. And after a score of 75, the confidence and strength of correlation fell apart. So it's like hit 75, and that's probably the right number right now. Mm-hmm. we're changing, Google's changing. The way content's getting created is changing. So that's where it is today.
Okay.
Tomorrow might be different.
I'm sure it will be. So basically what you're saying is I have content I've created, whether it's, I don't know who created it, or I may have had a writer who created it, and I throw it into originality.ai. If I get a 75% confidence score that it's human content, you're saying it's kind of a point of diminishing returns at that point, and that's good enough?
Yeah, that's what we saw.
As of right now.
as of right now. As of our current algorithm, as of Google's current results. Yeah, exactly. So, I think the other sort of use case that I've seen people using it incorrectly is sort of trying to treat it very similar to plagiarism, where it's like binary, like plagiarized or not plagiarized.
Yeah.
Whereas I think the best way to sort of think about it is with a handful of articles with a writer. And so if a writer has 10 articles and it's all coming back at like 80%, 90%, 100% original, and they have one article that's 60% original, I don't think it makes a lot of sense to sort of like hammer on them to fix that article to get it to 75% original. I think it's probably pretty believable that that was human created through the entire process.
Gotcha. Okay. Now that makes plenty of sense. I like that number too, at least as of right now, because that's a good process. And, for us guys who create, SOPs, standard operating procedures, that's something that we can put in there. If it's under 75, or then you might even want to shoot higher if you like, just because, and just like, hey, if it's under 80, then you need to go back and look at it or something like that. So I think that's pretty awesome. Do you think AI content will ever be impossible to detect?
I think an AI detection score will, I think the reliability of AI detection scores are going to be lower in the future than they are now, because AI is going to get better and there's going to be more AIs out there to check for. So I think that answer is, yeah, it's going to be harder and harder to detect. Which is where I think sort of detection scores alone will never be, aren't enough right now to get to a sort of enforceable level of detection. So I think it'll be a score that will be sort of a like litmus test, sort of initial identifier to then go and dig more into the writing environment's creation process, which is like kind of the Google Doc revision history I talked about.
Yeah. No, I like that process, because you could just, require your writers to use a free service, which is Google Docs. And you said that that's going to be a plugin that's coming out in the future, or is it already out?
No, it's already out now.
All right, cool. Could you just go to the Chrome extension store and look up Originality, and it'll be right there? Oh, that's awesome. Does it use any credits or anything, or is it just included?
So it uses credits for the detection score, but then the revision history, all that information is free.
Yeah, because you can actually dig into Google Docs, I believe, and find that information. But it's nice if the plugin could just, within a button click, exactly the history of that doc. All right, cool.
The history that you see is like pretty big blocks, but there's like by character level detail that is sort of in there, and so you can go way deeper and get to like what they present is just the tip of the iceberg of what's available. And then we were able to pull out all that information and then present that sort of like complete document history.
All right, cool. Yeah, that's nice. All right. So since that plugin as of right now is mainly for a Google extension, right, that you can use within Google Docs, do you ever plan on doing like a WordPress plugin that does the same thing?
Yeah. So we're thinking about it. We've asked that question a bunch. There's not a ton of, a lot of people that, especially that are doing sort of content production at volume, are WordPress is just a publishing environment versus a creation or editing environment.
Yeah.
And so I think it's not as high a priority as other development pieces that we're working on.
Gotcha. Yeah. I use Google Docs a lot. I use Grammarly's editor a lot to do stuff. But I mean, having it in WordPress, that's not right, not WordPress, but having it in Google Docs, I think is good enough, because again, it's a free tool that everybody can use, and you can force your writers to use it if you want it. And being able to kind of check up behind them and see if they're being honest. You know, I hate that we are always automatically assuming our writers are trying to get over on us.
I mean, I can't imagine they're not, though, right? Like,
that's true. Yeah.
Like, you can make more money
faster,
less effort, faster with the use of it. I mean, I know some writers are like, yeah, happy to be writing and don't want to use the tool, and so they're purists. But I mean, if you're doing it for income as your primary goal for writing, be really hard not to, especially if you're not needing to say whether you did or you didn't, right? Like some people will not because they don't want to lie, but if they're not being asked, which I'm sure a ton aren't right now, then, you know, be really hard pressed for me to like write about some, you know, plumbing company for money, not super, you know, inspirational, motivational topic that I'm fascinated by,
mm-hmm.
and produce it in without using an aid.
I mean, yeah. I mean, why not too? I mean, I do understand that aspect of it, but it's funny. We always assume, like, you know, if you're like a manager at a company or something, and you just assume that all of your employees under you are just trying to do the least amount of work possible. But in reality, that's probably the case. Like you just said, it has gotten to the point, John, too, to where I've gotten emails already on some niche sites of people actually being pretty upfront and saying that, hey, I'm going to use AI and I can create content that passes all of the detectors for you. And I had one person reach out and they said that they can create 2 articles a day for $6 a day. And I was just like, wow, it's so tempting. You know, that is tempting, but I have no idea what I'm going to get back on the other side.
I think we have. Yeah, I'm curious. Like, what's your current makeup right now? Like, are you guys using any AI? Are you like hard no to all AI?
As of right now, I do not. I tell my I have it in a content brief, and when I put it out there, I use Writer Access to do a lot of my content, and you know, you just kind of throw it out there. So I only really kind of siphon it by the. My love list, people, writers that I already have trusted and know, but I mean, I still can't guarantee that they're doing anything with or without AI. So I have it in the content brief saying, I don't want you to use, you know, AI content for this. I'm still holding pretty strongly to that. I mean, I have some smaller sites I could start testing that kind of stuff on, but I mean, as of right now, I don't like using it because I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop, kind of. And I think I've seen a lot of the bigger players in our industry already just about face, sending 1,000 emails a day trying to get you to sign up for this AI content or that AI content. And I mean, I'm okay with it because I understand why, but there's just something about it that just still, and that could just mean not being progressive, John. Could that be the case? Yeah. Yeah, because it's kind of like a chicken and the egg thing, right? And because a big complaint of some of these SEO optimizers that are out there, like Phrase and Surfer and Market Muse, all these places, they're taking the content that's already there and then kind of just, I don't want to say regurgitating it, but they're just giving you what's there. And then it's up to you to make something a little more valuable than what's already out there rather than just copying what's there. But if you do that long enough, you know, it's going to start just proliferating more and more into the content. So if that were to happen, what do you define as value, right, that actually would separate you from somebody else who just is, you know, just using these AI tools?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's where like user metrics around dwell time will become super significant. You know, EEAT will continue its sort of climb in terms of importance. You know, Google's trusted backlink, you know, metrics and looking at those as the way they always have and they're best in the world at, I think will continue to matter more and more. So yeah, it's fascinating times for sure.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. I know we're getting close to the end of our time here, John. A lot of people always ask this exact same question, but I'm curious as to what your thoughts on it. What's the future of niche websites and blogging and authority sites? Do they have a future?
I think so. But I don't have my views are I wish I had a stronger view right now. Like I think humans are gonna want knowledge, connection. Like what do they come online for? You know, be entertained, gain knowledge, feel a connection, find their tribe. Those things are going to keep happening and probably going to be even more important. You know, I think a lot of the sites that, you know, me and a lot of others have created around like, you know, best X for Y type, you know, content. I'm not sure if niche sites will be the best way to address that searcher's problem and deliver the most value to them. So I think some searches are going to get diminished as a result of those searches getting diminished. The sites that serve those type of searches will, as a result, be diminished. But humans are still going to be seeking, you know, knowledge, connection, and entertainment. And so I think there's a place for, you know, niche sites, websites in general to serve that. And it's funny, like one of the first and oldest sort of like called types of business, online business models is sort of like the forums. But I think though, I'm like bullish on old school forums, like 1950 Ford Mustang collector forum. Right? Yeah. It's gonna have built in like AI detectors in terms of like the moderators. It has massive longevity. It has you know, connection, knowledge, entertainment, all sort of built into it. In a way that sort of, you know, best X for Y type sites don't. Long answer, I know. But so I think the answer is yes. With some, the answer will be eventually no.
Yeah. I think the type of content that we create as niche site owners, we need to be a little bit more intentional. If the question we might be writing an article for, where the answer is literally just spitting out what's already there, then maybe that content may not serve the purpose of the site outside of maybe just trying to get some topical authority or something. Other than that, I mean, it may not serve the purpose versus something that actually requires an opinion, I guess, right? I mean, AI can't go get my golf driver and test it out and let me know if it's good or not, right? It can probably read 20 articles of other people who did it and then give me a what you call it. But even then, you have the whole, that's a whole nother argument, but the whole attribution thing, right? Like, I mean, I can see, you know, websites coming together and being, you know, trying to put blocks on their sites or maybe even lawsuits against Google and Microsoft saying, hey, you can't take my content and at least not give me some type of attribution for it as well. Do you see that becoming a problem?
So the lack of attributions is going to get solved. But then I think the flip side that's going to open up is exactly what you talked about with the legal side around like, great, you just consumed all my knowledge to build your brain. I didn't get compensated for it because you were just a bot scraping me versus, so yeah, I don't know how that's going to happen. Like if, especially if you have like in your terms, you know, scraping my website is not allowed. And then you can prove that these machines scraped your website. Is there a class action lawsuit there? I don't know.
Yeah, that's it's weird. Yeah, it's weird because it's not just Google who scrapes your site, right? I mean, tons of tools and bots and crawlers scrape your site. You can't even start a site nowadays without getting, bombarded with, 50,000 scraper sites that you find on Ahrefs, right? So, man, that's a tough one. Other than trying to hide yourself and block the bots. That's hard to say. Block the bots as much as possible, but then there's a catch 22 there because you might be blocking yourself from something else, that actually would benefit you. But anyways, look, this has been a great conversation. Where can people keep up with you and find you, maybe ask a question if they have?
Yeah, so originality AI is sort of that's the focus right now. You can find me there. You can find me on LinkedIn, John Gillum. Not too many on there, and certainly none that are no other John Gillums that are geeking it in this space. And then I sort of talk about what I do online and have for the last kind of 10 plus years at websiteincome.com.
Okay, cool. Yeah, you're definitely because it's Gilham with two L's, right? I learned that the hard way. I kept putting one L. I'm like, where is this guy? All right, cool. All right, that makes plenty of sense. Well, thanks so much, John, for being on. This has been a very interesting interview, talking about the future of content sites and AI. Appreciate you being on. I think everyone got some good value out of it.
Right on. Well, yeah, always, like I said, always fun to geek out on this stuff. And yeah, appreciate the questions. Thanks, Chris.
Right, cool. No problem.